The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. We're back to have a look at the Capital One Cup midweek games. The Premier League teams and lots of all Premier League ties involved this midweek. We've got Ron Atkinson and Derek McGovern on the line. Entertaining weekend of Premier League action. Plenty of goals, plenty of teams coming from behind. And our first managerial casualty of the season. Not a huge surprise, guys, but...
David Moyes, is he gone?
Yes, Paolo Di Canio. At times it looked like he was trying to get the sack, especially on the weekend game. He made all his subs and his striker gets injured, so he can't make any more subs. His former player who he let go, Sessegnon, scores the goal, Ron. I suppose it was just a matter of time, I guess, wasn't it? And it's happened now.
Yeah, I mean, we said from the outset, I mean, I've worked with the fellow, I would know his sort of thinking, and it's crazy. And
pure and simple.
Yeah.
You know, and No surprise. I mean, I suppose the owners seen the light early on and think this is definitely will be down by Christmas. Sunderland, maybe Derby. One of them's got the lowest points total ever. They're about 17. Mm. And the way they were going, they weren't going to break that.
Yeah. Manager markets already available for who will take over. Roberto Di Matteo is 8-13. Obviously, the Italian connections there, Derek. Alex McLeish, 4-1. Gus Poyet, 5-1. Kevin Ball, 8-1. Tony Pulis, interesting selection, 9-1. Gianfranco Zola, 14-1. Redknapp, 16. So is Lee Clark and Mick McCarthy, then 20-1 and bigger, the rest of them. You can see Di Matteo would be an easy fit, I suppose, wouldn't it, Derek?
Well, yeah, but has it come to that they have to appoint another Italian because you'll get on better with the backroom staff? Has it
I don't
come
know.
To that in the Premier League?
Know. It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, but you know, to be fair, the Sunday people on Sunday were saying, you know, before Di Canio went there Sunday morning, it was Di Canio out, Di Matteo in. And they were pretty strong on that. So there must be some sort of whispers coming from the stadium of lights. The good thing for Di Canio now is that when he left Swindon, he broke in for pictures of happier times there. Well, he won't be having to do that, will he, at Sunderland, because there weren't any. But yeah, nailed on that he was going to go.
They'll be the same pictures.
Yeah.
Which name would you pick out of that lot, Ron, if you had to? It's not an easy job, is it?
The only thing being looking at the personnel, the playing personnel. If it were me, I'd go for Tony Pulis on a 1-year deal.
Yeah,
I'd say to him, look, there's £2 million and whatever. Keep us up. Mm. But I don't know if he can get because he's got mainly Italian players in there now, and he ain't going to be able to bring anybody else in. Don't know if he can get them to play in the style that suits him. But I don't think they don't want an ultra sophistication now. They want somebody that's blood and guts and all that, and war of attrition type manager in there. And I'm not so sure Di Matteo's that type of manager, you know. I'm not so sure. I mean, he managed quite well at Milton Keynes and at West Brom when they were one of the better teams in each division. And of course, with Chelsea, he took over a group of top players. Now here, he's working with a bunch of, I don't say no-nos, but a bunch of people that nobody knows.
Yes.
So I think it's going to be hard. I suppose the very fact that he's got about 8 Italians in the team and he speaks Italian might help. Mm. But you just wonder how the fans might react to... I know he's a different type temperamentally, totally, to Di Canio. But you just wonder how they might adapt to having another Italian there. I don't know.
I'll throw a big price one in for you here. He's not mentioned anywhere in the Hills better, I don't think. I'm looking at the 66-1 bars. Sven. I mean, to me, he's a clown. But he does seem to have his supporters. And, you know...
Actually, Derek, you just reminded me there was one here like yesterday. It's just Nancy.
Yeah. What's the manager to play? Nancy's there already.
She was here with David Dean and that. Yeah. You know what? I honestly, I'd struggle for my life on that one. I'd give it Pulis, but with great reservations, the fact that he's having to do... If he's still got one or two of those that have left, because they've got rid of about 12 English players, haven't they, in the summer?
Yeah.
Or British, anyway. If he's still got a few of those left, I'd definitely give it to Pulis and say, look, we don't care how you play, but keep us up.
Yeah. The market's available for the next Premier League manager to go after that. Martin Jarl, 2-1. Alan Pardew, 5-2. Chris Hughton, 5-1. Ian Holloway, 7s. And then you get a big jump up to double figure prices for Steve Clarke at 14-1. And 16-1 for Malky McKay and Sam Allardyce.
Moyes, how come Moyes isn't in the list?
Moyes is 33-1.
I tell you what.
They won't get rid of him, Derek. Not this early, surely.
He might go to Sunderland.
No, no.
Sunderland, what was...
Just
a quick update on the Premier League price before we get on the Capital One Cup. Man City are the clear favourites now at 7-4. Chelsea 5-2. Man United have drifted further to 4-1 after defeats at the weekend. Arsenal 13-2. Tottenham 8-1. Liverpool back out to 12-1 after their loss to Southampton. Let's have a look at the Capital One Cup then, shall we? We'll start with the TV game on Tuesday. What we're going to do is, apart from this TV game, we're going to do all the Premier League ties and then we're going to run through at the end and see if there's any potential upsets that Ron and Derek can pick out. First up then, it's Swindon Town versus Chelsea. 17-2 Swindon, 4-1 the draw. Chelsea 4-11. I kind of scratching my head as to why this was the TV game, but I suppose maybe they sniff an upset here. Swindon, a League One though, and 10th in League One, so it's not like they're in great form. Won 3-2 at the weekend against Bristol City, had lost 3-2 the previous game to Wolves, but had started the season okay, fairly inconsistent. They beat Queen's Park Rangers in the previous round, of course, as well. So a little bit of a giant killing there. Chelsea back into winning ways, Ron, with a 2-0 win over Fulham, which isn't a big surprise. I think you and Robbie both said 2-0 Chelsea. A comfortable win, basically, wasn't it?
And they
want to get the job done. Well, Oscar scored and John Obi Mikel, which is very rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chelsea never lose when Obi Mikel scores.
I suppose on the face of it, Ron, it could be a tricky tie, but also you want to go out there and just get the job done early, don't you, if you're Chelsea here?
Well, I think after last week's thing in the European Cup, and then they were getting beat at Everton, and Mourinho's won this a couple of times, hasn't he? When he paid full attention to it when he first came, so he knows
his first trophy,
the important.
I think it,
well, he'd be quiet to make this his first trophy of his second sort of period, and I think it, whatever side they feel, it's going to be a fairly strong side, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have upset Swindon. Swindon are a footballing side anyway. Got a lot of Tottenham kids in there. I actually think it'll be comfortable. I think it'll be comfortable for Chelsea, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them run out of the end 3-0.
Yeah, I was going to say, Derek, I mean, because of that price, that 4-11 price away from home, you're getting a decent price on the handicap, aren't you? Chelsea -1's 4-5.
Yeah.
Against
the,
this is like, a top side against the League One mid-table team.
Yeah, you'd expect it, wouldn't you? It's hard to make a case of Swindon. Good home form, though, they've got. Unbeaten, 1-3 and drew 1 of their 4 games, scored 11 goals at home. So there's something about them, but they are League One mid-table, and Chelsea are anything but. You worry, you think, well, okay, Chelsea, bigger fish to fry, surely, the Champions League, they need to get it right there, in with a shout of the title. But then all that applied last season, and the first match in this tournament, you thought maybe there's an upset against, I think it was Wolves.
Yeah, it was,
6-0.
Yeah.
And then they beat Man United in the next round in that 5-4 game. So, they ain't going to take it easy, I don't think. And they need, you say it was a comfortable win against Fulham. A better side than Fulham could have beaten Chelsea at the weekend.
Yes, true.
They weren't at it, Chelsea. There's still something not quite right there. But they ain't going to slip up here. Yeah, you're right. -1 at 4-5 looks a very good bet.
Yeah, the goal scorer prices at the minute, if you're thinking about goals for Chelsea. Fernando Torres scored a lot in the League Cup. There were some kind of cruel jibes last year that this maybe was his level. 10-11 to score a goal against Swindon doesn't look bad at all, does it? Lampard 6-5, and what about Juan Mata? 7-4 to score a goal. Surely he'll play him in this kind of game.
Did he not play on Sunday?
No.
Wasn't even on the bench.
Nope.
Oh, that's I'll tell you what a snip he'd be for some of the.
God knows why. We've talked about it long and hard, haven't we? But if he does play, obviously you get your money back if he doesn't play. But 7-4 if he does play seems like a proper player who'd want to. Remind the manager that what kind of player he is. Interesting one. Okay.
I'd fancy one. Who was the centre forward? Be Barbie, Eto.
They're all decent prices, to be fair. So
I'd fancy one of them. Must score in a game like this.
Aston Villa take on Spurs on Tuesday night, 5-2 Villa, 23-10 the draw, and Spurs are priced up at 11 to 10. Tottenham left it late to claim their win in the Premier League at the weekend, but win they did in the end. Aston Villa got that win as well, a 1-0 away win. So match results, one at Cardiff, of course, and one at Norwich. Bad news for Villa was that Benteke went off, but his replacement, Kozak, came on and scored, I think it was probably his second touch. Tottenham, pretty much as soon as he came on. Paulinho was the goal scorer for Tottenham. Tottenham, of course, playing really well. And as we said in the weekend previews, I think, Derek, you mentioned it, only goal they've conceded Tottenham so far is that that goal that Arsenal scored against them. Villa finally kept a clean sheet at the 27th attempt in the Premier League. You always say, yeah, it was. Derek, you always say about Villa at home are an entirely different team to the one that goes away from home. Yeah. You can imagine them just, you know, struggling to make the game against Spurs in a way here, couldn't you?
Well, ordinarily I would go for Tottenham at 11 to 10. I think it would be a real good bet, but they played on Thursday, they played on Sunday, and they're playing on Tuesday. I read the explanation of why it was. I can't remember what it was now. Something, I think it was the two Midlands clubs or something. I can't remember. But it's an inhuman schedule for them, isn't it? I mean, three games.
They were playing on Wednesday. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So three games in 5 days, and Villas Boas was moaning about that, you know, last week. Is there a potential for Tottenham to throw in the towel in this one? I mean, I know whatever side they put out will be a tasty one because of all the players they've got now. Mm. But I've got worries about Spurs. I think this might be a gimme for Villa. I've just got a sneaking feeling that Tottenham might just well relinquish this one and be happy to go out. Yeah. I remember Villa did ever so well in this tournament last season, didn't they?
Until they met Bradford.
Exactly. But before that, I mean, they beat Manchester City. Beat Man City at this stage last season.
Yeah, beat Man City. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go for Villa. I don't often go for Villa at home, but I'm not sure about Tottenham's commitment here. Mm.
Yeah.
I think they'll have the commitment. I think they've got enough players in there to do it. And, you know, they are on a winning run, and, you know, that's a good habit. So, just tell me their recent record after the Arsenal. They were beat by Arsenal, didn't they?
Tottenham's games, yeah. They were beaten by Arsenal, and they beat Norwich 2-0, beat Tromso 3-0, and then 1-1 at Cardiff.
They are pretty confident. They can adjust. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go to extra time. I think the overall result for me, I think Tottenham got a decent record in recent years there. I know they won 4 there last year, I think.
Tottenham at Villa Park. Let me have a look at the head-to-heads.
While you're looking, Neves, don't forget that Tottenham played Chelsea on Saturday lunchtime as well.
Four-nil there. They drew 1-1 the year before. 1-2-1 the year before that. Ron, I'm trying to find the last time they lost.
Last time they lost was
2008.
I think they've got a decent record now. Mm. I think they've got enough personnel that they can swap it round, and whoever comes in will have a go. Mm. Did he play on Saturday? Defoe presumably didn't play, did he?
No.
Sunday, you know, in the league game. Well, he'll come in. I think he scored one or two at Villa Park in his time. So I think they might win. I think Tottenham will win. I think it might be after extra time.
Mm, yeah. Ron, just a quick question. You look at Villa's League Cup results over the last few seasons, and there aren't half some goals in there. Whoever they've played against, whether it be Premier League or 3-0, 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 3-2, 4-2, 3-0, 2-0s, another 2-0, a 6-4 in there, another 4-2. Well, is there something about a competition that can, you know, because it's different managers, different players year in, year out, but what is it about a competition that maybe they play a bit freer or something?
I think Villa have got, with the exception of, I think it's Liverpool maybe, I think Villa have maybe won this cup more times than any other club, you know. Apart from Liverpool, I think that there's something like that. They're well up there in the winners anyway, and you know, it'll mean a lot to the fans. The fans will be up for it. They don't see it as I'd be amazed if there weren't 30,000 there, for argument's sake.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes at this round of the cup, so you're looking at the 15,000s, 18,000s, aren't you? So the fans will fancy it. The fans will want it. But I just got a feeling that Tottenham, if they put out a relative side, might just have too much quality for them.
Mm, yeah. So you're going for just Villa on the nose, Derek?
Yep, I am indeed.
5-2. West Ham play Cardiff on Tuesday as well. 7:45 kickoff. 23-20 the Hammers. 23-10 the draw, and Cardiff are 12-5. As we just said, Cardiff lost 1-0 to Tottenham. Just a few minutes away from getting a point out of them. West Ham involved in that 3-2 defeat at home to Everton when Leighton Baines, a couple of apps. absolute corkers. Free kicks.
Were Everton winning 3-0 then?
No, they went 1-0 down, then it was 1-1, went 2-1 down to a noble penalty, then pulled it back again through another Baines free kick. Mm. Have you not seen the free kicks run? He scored. No. He's curled one in. Baines has curled one in with his right foot into the corner.
No, both with his left foot. But
But what with his left foot into one
right
corner?
Foot.
Yeah, that would be special, wouldn't it? Yeah. One into the corner, into the left hand corner, wasn't it? As you're looking, Derek. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's curled the other one, which is pretty much from the same distance. The other corner and clipped it off the post and in. It was incredible. And then Lukaku gets the winner against West Ham and got himself knocked out in the process. But the interesting thing, Derek, about West Ham is that you think, oh, well, they've scored some goals. And one was a penalty, one was a big deflection. I think they only had one shot in the second half and that was the penalty.
Exactly.
So they're still not scoring goals, are they? They're still not getting enough chances, really.
You're just opposed them at will. Because I couldn't believe they got two goals, but then you saw the highlights and you realised why. They're just a shocking side, and it's still the mystery of life how on earth they finished 10th last season. And this is the repeat of the opening day game when I was big on Cardiff at 7-2. I thought they were 3-1, I think it was. I thought they were probably one of the better of the season. They lost 2-0, didn't get a sniff. Don't know how that happened, because Cardiff will win this one. They're a better side than West Ham.
You know, think if you're one of them fixtures, though, you've got to try and get... These are two teams that won't bother about making progress in this tournament.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hard call.
I was wondering that myself. And would you favour... Because you look at Marky Mackay's Cardiff in recent years, and they lost to Northampton Town last year in the first round. You know, they've beaten Accrington Stanley this year to get this far. But they haven't got many wins on the record when you look at previous years.
Yeah, but they also look at the priorities this year. Yeah. And both teams are definitely... I'm one of those that think you should play your strongest team, but in all fairness, Sam's never been averse to tossing the competition off, has he? And then you look at Cardiff, and you might think that they might say they'll have a go, but I think you might find the personnel a lot different to what the league personnel is at the weekend. I think because it's a night match, I'd just about go for a West Ham win for no other reason than it's a night match at the bowling.
Yeah. Derek, I wonder if you get a price, Derek, on neither going through here. Yeah. Looking at their previous form in early rounds.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a winner, but you wonder how. But Lee, how could anybody back West Ham though at nearly even money, given the way they've been playing and the fact that they never seem to try a leg in this competition anyway?
On value grounds alone, you'd have to go with Cardiff, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
12-5. I can see that. Fulham take on Everton, another old Premier League tie. This one's 8 o'clock on Tuesday. Fulham are 21-10. Everton are 7-5, and the draw is 21-10. Everton, the only team in the Premier League to remain unbeaten with that 3-2 win that I've just mentioned. As for Fulham's season, they of course lost 2-0 to Chelsea, and we mentioned earlier on Martin Yol, the favourite now to be the next manager to go. Always seems to be rumblings about his future at Fulham. They haven't got a very good record in this competition either. If you look at last year, they went out to Sheffield Wednesday in the first round. This time, they struggled for their lives against Burton Albion, went through on penalties in the end after a 1-1 draw, and then it was 2-2 after extra time. Everton just seem... I mean, we had question marks about the manager, Ron, but to be fair to him, he's doing it right. I mean, he brought...
Hang on a bit. Who had question marks? It was only Robbie.
Oh, was you? Oh, me as well, to be fair.
Did you?
Derek, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
All
right, let me rephrase that. I had question marks about Roberto Martinez.
I think Robbie did as well.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
I think with the personnel he's got now and that his attitude, I said it last week, I think they could well be the surprise packet of the Premiership this year.
The change he made, Ron, with Lukaku coming on as well, I mean, literally changed the game. I mean, you could say the sending off also changed the game, obviously, but I mean, it was just when he came on. I mean, you're a massive fan of Lukaku's anyway. If he plays in this, then Everton win, I would suggest. Do you think they win anyway at Fulham?
I think they'll win. And they've definitely got a pedigree at Fulham. I think they might have won maybe two out of the last 3 years. I remember them winning that.
Excuse me. Under Moyes, they got a 2-2 draw there last time and won 3-1 the year before. So, yeah, plenty of goals in the games. And, Fellaini got a couple last year. They haven't lost since 2009.
I would fancy Everton. Yeah, I think he might target this as well. I think I don't. All right, he might make changes, but he's got sort of good squad changes that would welcome a game. I don't know whether the likes of McCarthy played at the weekend.
Yeah, they came on. Yeah,
you know, he'll start the game. People like that, and they've got. Would you clean our player? Is he fit or not?
No,
fit?
He's not fit. He's still not fit. Yeah.
You know, they've got all that Morales and Jelovic and, like you say, Lukaku. They've got good options. They've got like what I call an old-fashioned team squad, where they've got about 16 players, and he's not spoiled for choice. It's not as if he thinks, "Oh, I've got to keep him happy this week and keep them happy." You know, I've got 26 players. He's got a nice tight bunch that he can just freshen up. I think, you know, the fact that winning, that momentum they've got at the moment, I think that'll carry on through. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose, Derek, as well, the manager's got a taste for that cup competition. You know, you imagine he'd be a confident manager going into knockout games as well. He's doing great all of a sudden, isn't he? I suppose what the negativity came from drawing those first few. Yeah. But all of a sudden now, you know, they look a right side, don't they?
They do. Instinctively, I've always said this, and I suppose there might be 1 or 2 years where you're wrong with that. I always said the team that wins the league will have the fewest defeats.
Yeah.
I think there's 1 or 2, but normally... I mean, when it was a 42-game season, normally, like when Liverpool were winning it, the maximum they would ever lose was 7. Some years they'd win it with less than that.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's where you look. You look at that column at the end of the year, and I'd be surprised if most years, that's not the team that wins the league, the team with the fewest defeats.
Yeah, yeah, it's fair.
But Everton, the only undefeated team, you're right. And they were 7-5 to win at West Ham on Saturday. I went for them. They're 7-5 to win at Fulham. I don't see why I won't go for them again. Ron's right. They've put together, on the quiet, a very, very tidy squad. And I look at it, and I really don't see a weakness. Okay, I don't see sort of magic men everywhere that some of the teams have got. But they're all proper professionals, Evan. And Ron's right, they're not going to win the title or anything. But, you know, they're going to take points off some big teams, especially under this manager, because the player players, and they have got a few, will be allowed to flourish. I'll be on Everton's side for a while here. I think the good things. Fulham are just going backwards, aren't they? They look a poor, poor side. Chelsea were there for the taking on Saturday. Fulham never, ever looked capable of doing it. Yeah, Everton will win this one.
Almost play Berbatov than any of them. Did they play?
Berbatov never played.
Bent played. He had a good chance, actually. Was it 0-0 when he had the chance? And they got through against keeper, but fluffed it, really.
What about him with Karabat? Karabat.
He came on a sub, didn't he? Yeah.
Too many flowery players. It seemed really obvious, didn't it, at the start of the season? Maybe it's coming home to roost. The TV game on Wednesday, this is a belter. Two teams who had pretty bad off days by their own admissions. Manchester United taking on Liverpool. 5-4 Man United, 23-10 the draw, and Liverpool are 5-2. Man United just looked... lethargic, maybe at best, and Rooney was the only one really tearing around, but there were some abject performances from some players. Liverpool, pretty much the same, I guess, really. Yeah, Brendan Rodgers said it's probably the worst performance he's seen this calendar year. And he's been positive, though, Derek. I suppose he says he wants to just get back on it and start another run going. Good game for both teams, because you can't really rest, you can't really sulk when you've got Man United or Liverpool coming up.
Well, it's a big game, isn't it, for both teams? But it is for Man United now. I mean, you know, I just wonder what team David Moyes is going to put out now after that. Can he afford to lose to his bitter rivals after what happened against City? Will he put a stronger team out now as a result of what happened yesterday?
Because we got the weekend, Derek.
Man United?
West Brom at home.
Yeah. Liverpool got
Sunderland away on Sunday.
They got Suarez coming back in, haven't they?
Suarez will come back in this game.
That's what I mean,
Which is unbelievable as well, isn't it? I mean,
it's like Cantona coming back, wasn't it? He came back against Liverpool last time after his ban.
I tell you, there's one for you. What about Suarez either to score the winning goal or to get sent off?
They should put that out as a special, shouldn't they?
I think they probably will at the time.
You know what Derek was saying. I think Liverpool. I think it's more important, funnily enough, to Man United this than Liverpool now. They cannot be seen to lose 1 week to Man City and then the next game to Liverpool.
I mean, they've played Chelsea, they've played Liverpool, they've played Man City, they've drawn against Chelsea, lost to Liverpool, and been. I mean, they were thumped by City, to be fair. I mean, you know. I mean, I know it's a hard run of games, but you need to win one of them, don't you?
Yeah, and this is. I tell you what. All right, 33-1 you mentioned earlier. He's under no pressure in terms of that. But I'll tell you what, getting knocked out by Liverpool, if they got knocked out by Crystal Palace again, all right, it'd be a little bit of a 10-minute wonder and everybody'd be moaning.
Yeah.
Get beat by Liverpool on the back of getting beat by...
City, yeah.
Getting beat by City, that won't go down well at all with the folk. And I think he'll have to play a stronger team if he can. If Van Persie's fit, I think he'll have to play him. And I actually think he takes priority this match over the West Brom game at the weekend.
Yeah, probably does, doesn't it? It's rare that you say that about a top team in this competition, Derek, isn't it? But yeah. I know it's more important to Man United, but same for Liverpool as well. In a way, you know, they were poor against Southampton in a lot of ways, weren't they?
Well,
you predicted it pretty much.
I'd been expecting a result like that because the performances hadn't been, you know, they were top of the league, but God knows how. You know, they hadn't played well enough to deserve that. And without, as soon as I knew Coutinho wasn't playing, you know, after the injury in the midweek, he's the catalyst for everything for Liverpool when Suarez isn't there. It might be a different kettle of fish with the Uruguayan back now. But it's a big game for Liverpool because they haven't got Europe this season, you know. They're not going to be playing that many games.
Yeah.
And he can't afford to throw away a League Cup. You know, because what else are they going to win? They ain't going to win the title.
Plus, beating Man United at this stage of the competition could give you the impetus, couldn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he's got a bit of goodwill to make up after the way they threw in the towel against Swansea in this competition last season. When they had, it was a winnable competition for them last season. It's a big, big game for both clubs, this. I'm going to go for Liverpool, you know, a 5-2, because I think the Suarez effect, I still believe that Moyes will weaken down, you know, even though I've just given it the preamble that, yeah, it's a massive game now after what happened, etc., etc. If he was to play a full strength side and lose to Liverpool, well, imagine it. But if he weakens down a bit and they lose, well, it ain't such a big deal, is it? I think
Derek,
that might...
I don't think the people will care if he played the kids against Liverpool and got beat.
Yeah,
it would still be another little dart in the back, not a dagger, but a dart.
It's an interesting guessing game, Ron, isn't it?
Isn't it? It's fascinating. Suarez, I mean, you know, it wouldn't. If you can make an argument for Liverpool to win, Suarez to score, it's 11-2 that price. I mean, Suarez is 7-4 to score in this game. I think that's overpriced. I mean, I know
and Liverpool to win.
And Liverpool to win. I mean, Liverpool to win 5-2. Any score.
Well, you wouldn't put anybody off that bet, would you?
No, it seems big, doesn't it?
You wouldn't put anybody off. Mm. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he go to extra time. And if you went to extra time, I fancy United. If United had beaten City, I'd be less optimistic, but... Mm. I think they have to win it. I think it would be there'll be a few drums beating if they got beat by Liverpool.
On the plus side for United, I mean they've got 7 points from 5 games. I mean that if you keep up that rate, it's enough to stay up, isn't it? There's about 20,000 Fellaini wigs being sent back to the shops now. By the way, Ron, you stunk your place out yesterday.
Just run me through the midfield yesterday.
Oh God, it was non-existent, was it? Carrick was in there. Fellaini was there.
It was, yeah, Carrick, Fellaini, Young,
Valencia.
And Valencia.
Valencia,
actually, Ron Valencia was awful. I mean, he'd never tracked back once, it didn't seem. I mean, his final ball was terrible. They were bad, though. I mean, why he's not playing Kagawa when he's got a bit of invention?
Well, somebody said to me, what team would you have played? It was Dennis Stewart. I said, well, I'd go for Valencia on the right at the moment. There's probably the best winger they've got. I don't know about Saar yet.
Yeah.
But then I'd have gone Carrick, Fellaini, and I'd have put Kagawa in on the left.
Yeah.
Who can fill in. I know he's better just behind the front player, but he can do that and fill in and give him a bit more solidness in midfield.
Mm. Just looked so ordinary, didn't they? Yeah. I can sense goals in this one, actually. I think, you know, if they are going to go for it, it might be one of those daft... remember when United played Chelsea, didn't they? And there was loads of goals. I can sense something like that.
Well, you know, you mentioned about Suarez 7-4 any time, but Daniel Sturridge,
he was
11-4 any time.
I just saw that as well, actually.
That's a big, big difference, isn't it?
He's the one that might not play.
Yeah, maybe not.
Possibly. Yeah. But you're not losing any money if he doesn't play. You get your dough back.
No, that's true.
They shouldn't be that big a price anyway. They've just conceded 4.
I'm going to stick my neck out and go for a Manchester United win 2-1.
That's 15-2.
2-1.
You can have that match result and both teams to score, by the way. Man United to win in a, if both teams score, is 3-1. Liverpool 5-1 on those terms, and the draw is 10-30. Looks a good price, isn't it?
Yeah. 5-1. Both teams to score, Liverpool to win.
Fast. Final one we'll look at in a bit of detail is West Brom versus Arsenal. West Brom are 5-2. Arsenal are 21-20. It's 12-5 the price for the draw. Arsenal winning again, 3-1 against Stoke. Mesut Ozil involved in all three goals again. Ramsey scoring again. It's all going well for Arsenal, isn't it, at the moment? Top of the table, and just can't stop winning. West Brom, they recorded their first win of the season in the league. 3-0 at home to Sunderland. The other win was 3-0 against Newport County. Obviously, Sessegnon scored the opener, and then Sunderland basically just disintegrated as the game wore on. But you can't take anything away from West Brom. You wonder how up for this one they'll be, Ron, West Brom.
They'll be mad up for it. Although yeah. He has attended. West Brom have annoyed me over the last few years in this competition because they haven't won anything for 200 years, really. And every time they've gone into this, I remember Di Matteo having a great chance one year and sending like 8 reserves down to play somewhere like Colchester or something, getting beat, somewhere like that. And you think, well, they're West Brom. How can West Brom throw away a competition like this? You know, you look at teams like Swansea last year that have won it, and, you know, they do have a chance. But Arsenal at the moment, unless... And he hasn't got that little interim team, has he, at the Emirates, you know, where he could throw in... They don't seem to have that sort of backup where they can put in virtually the youth team. Mm. I mean, they'll make changes, but I think the changes are... quite senior players coming in, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you look back to...
When's Cazorla going to be fit?
I don't think so. He wasn't fit the weekend, but he might be one who comes back into this. He might rest Ozil, might he, play Cazorla if he's fit. But not
who's
a bad.
Who's they got at the weekend?
Not a bad swap, I suppose, is it? Arsenal at the weekend have got Swansea away.
And they've got Arteta to come back at some given time. And
he played at the weekend, didn't he?
He was on the bench, wasn't he? Yeah.
You know, so they can make decent season players in there. Yeah. Just trying to catch my mind back. I know they won there last year. Have they got a half-decent record there in recent years?
At the Hawthorns, they won 2-1, didn't they? They won 3-2 the year before that, a draw the year before that. West Brom haven't beaten them since 2005 at their place. They win most years there, actually, Arsenal.
Yeah, I would fancy Arsenal. I'd try and get a drift of the team beforehand. But
I guess the only way we can look at it, I mean, it's obviously a harder game than the Bradford game, which they drew and lost on penalties, remember, last year. But they played...
At that time, Arsenal weren't playing like they're playing now.
Yeah. The team was pretty strong, though. It was Szczesny, Mertesacker, Sanya, Vermaelen, Gibbs, Cazorla, Wiltshire, Coquelin, Ramsey, Podolski and Jovinio. So it's not...
Yeah, but they weren't playing well. No. I mean, you've just said it, Jovinio. Jovinio for a start.
Yeah, true.
They weren't playing well at that time. At this moment in time, apart from the Villa hiccup, but they've had a right run since Bayern Munich, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, they've had a hell of a run since... I mean, that's some record that went a little bit unnoticed. They've won 10 away games on the bounce, haven't they?
Yeah. You know what, the base stats are excellent for Arsenal, but you look at the fixtures they've had in that run. They've played nobody. I know you've still got to get the results, but you couldn't have handpicked the fixtures better.
No, but...
Tottenham was the hardest game, I suppose. I'll give them that
It's still unusual to win 10.
Yeah, you know, they went away to Marseille as well, didn't they, obviously? And, I see it,
and don't forget, and it did start with Dortmund, with
Munich.
I fancy Arsenal, but I'd try and get some sort of team news first.
Yeah. Derek?
Yeah. Who scored for them on Saturday? Who scored Sunday?
It was Ramsey scored the first. Sanya got one.
Yeah.
And the other goal was scored. I'm desperately. Oh, it was Mertesacker, wasn't it?
Mertesacker.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was 1-1.
Did Giroud play?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Giroud played,
Because that's a little bit of. That's one big worry I do have about Arsenal. Yeah. Is if anything happened to him, because I can't see him play centre forward. I know Podolski, but he's injured.
Yeah.
I can't see him be centre forward, can you?
Probably stick Ozil up there, wouldn't he? Let him try have a go, I guess.
No. Unless they use him like a message thing, but they can't. The only bloke he can see coming in is Walker, isn't it?
Yeah.
I ain't sure about him up there anyway, but. I can't see the centre forward because they've got no young kids, have they? That's
Well, you never know. They always come out with these fellas you've never heard of, and everyone all of a sudden they're going to be well because they beat someone like Burnley 8-0, and they're going to be well beaters, and then you never hear from them again.
Oh, hang on a minute. I mean, it's staring us in the face here. We see this week in, week out. Nicholas Bentner's still there.
Oh, my God. Is he still there?
He's there. He's on the subs bench at the weekend.
So they started playing without a centre-forward before Barcelona did.
It used to be the Bugsy Malone 11 Arsenal used to play in this competition, wasn't it? I have to say, the odds against, and they don't really weaken down that much now, because they can't. They haven't got that big a squad. So, and West Brom, I'm not reading anything into that 3-0 win over Sunderland. Anybody would have beaten Sunderland at the weekend. Run's a little bit unfair on their record recently in this competition, because they went out to Liverpool and Everton the last two seasons. And then the season before that, they had a good run, got out in the fifth round of quarter final. They lost to Ipswich, which, you know, they should have done better, I suppose.
That was a match, Derek. That was a match when I think Di Matteo didn't have my... I'm sure that was a game we made.
Was it?
A lot of changes.
Yeah. Quite likely. But I'd have to go for Arsenal here, the way they're playing, and I just don't see West Brom doing much this season at all. I'm anti-West Brom this season.
Let me run through these fixtures, and I'll run through them all, and if there's any that stand out, and we'll talk about them at the end. First of all, Man City Wigan, 2-7 Man City, 10-1 Wigan, 4-1 the draw. Also involving Premier League clubs, Hull versus Huddersfield, 17-20 Hull at home, 7-2 Huddersfield, 23-10 the draw. Sunderland Peterborough, both shout at once, 4-6 Sunderland, 14-5 the draw, Peterborough 4-1. Also got Watford taking on Norwich, that could be an interesting one, 13-8 Watford, 9-5 Norwich.